Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zolak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kobe Altman, GM of the Cavs, knew that Isaiah Thomas had issues with his hip. It wasn't that long ago. We should all remember when this deal got stalled out for a few days.
Yeah.
And what did the Celtics do? They didn't cave. They said, no, he's fine. Take another look. Hey, look at him again. Run another test. He's fine. No, we're not giving you more. As far as we know, the deal's done. This deal's done. We agreed to the deal. Do the damn deal.
Then you started to hear he won't be ready till after the first of the year. Remember the January deadlines that it started?
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, whoa.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
What did Danny do? Didn't flinch.
Didn't flinch.
The hell with you guys. You guys agreed to the deal. Do the deal.
I knew we had him.
And they still did it. And they were right.
It's almost they had.
They were right to question the hip. Kobe Altman and the Cavs were right to say there's something not right with this player. And they still went through and did the deal at that point? Of course they got screwed in this deal. Of course they did. Great for the Celtics. Great for Danny Ainge. Bad for Cleveland. Bad for Kobe Altman.
We actually did shows on Isaiah Thomas wanting tribute videos played for him in his return to the Garden.
And not only that,
we wasted times of our life on that.
There are other things that make this a good deal for the Celtics. It's not limited to just what you got
right. Matching
up the assets. No, this is grease the skids for LeBron to leave town, because LeBron's out of there now. That has helped that process along. No Kyrie Irving? Oh, the Cavs are a worse team? Okay, that's helping him get on out. It's also helped the Celtics right now. What do the Cavs look like if Kyrie Irving is still playing for that team?
Yeah.
You're getting smoked in this series. Last season, it's tough to think back, but if you could kind of remove Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving from the series, would you have said okay to that? A year ago at this time, Cavaliers-Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, if someone came to us and said, hey, they'll take Kyrie out of the series if you take your guard out of the series and Isaiah Thomas, would you do it?
No.
I think you'd be tempted.
Isaiah was all you had, though.
At the very least, you'd be tempted.
But know what you had as a team at that time. And remember, they completely made this team over.
Would have been hard, given how much of the offense was running through Isaiah
Thomas.
Because
it was Isaiah. It was clear out.
I get it.
And Isaiah, ball in your hand. Go. Yeah, you had, no choice. Gun to your head. You had to keep Isaiah on the floor. I don't know. Would you swap him? One for one? Eye for an eye.
I mean, it's
may not have made sense then, but it certainly makes sense right now.
It makes sense now, but it's like it's all about the composition of the team and like what's happening out there. It may not be the best player that you go back and forth, but it's the best fit for the situation. You know, what's happening out there at that moment with those guys.
The trade of Kyrie may have led to what is such a sour culture in that locker room and with that group of guys and all the guys that they then acquired. You know, okay, so Kyrie didn't like being treated the way that he was treated by LeBron. So he demands out. He wants out. Doesn't want to play with LeBron.
Well, that's what you're talking about.
Following
the defeatist mentality.
You add a couple of guys into the mix that LeBron's got no use for either.
Right.
And Crowder and Thomas.
Yep.
Those guys get traded. And then you get a bag of crap back that now fills out your lineup. And oh, by the way, they're all pouty and they're a bunch of quitters. And when they're faced with a hard road, they just sort of throw in the towel. That has all helped. That's helping in the here and now for the Celtics.
Why do so many people give LeBron James the responsibility of quitting because the entire team quit? You know, he's out of the game with 2.5, 3 left, and I know Brad Stevens told us, hey, it's easy to make up 11 points in the NBA. It's quick. But that game was in hand. So you sit LeBron, he already had his triple-double, and he did what he could. Why does he get credit for quitting?
And I'm going to give you another
thing. When the whole team quit on him.
I'm going to give you another thing. Because he's the best player. The best players always get the most criticism because they have the highest expectations. That's not a hard one.
Yeah.
If the Celtics win this series, Kyrie Irving will have been proven right.
Yeah.
And I will be proven wrong. Because I said, why would you want to leave the best player in the world and the best team in the Eastern Conference and pretty much a guaranteed trip to the finals? Because you know why?
Because he's miserable.
Because he thought And if he did think this way, he was thinking correctly. Well, if I leave this team and go over there, that team's going to the finals, not this one. And if the Celtics win this series without him and without Gordon Hayward, how could he possibly be wrong?
For this,
how could he be wrong?
He could have never had the vision that this was what it was going to be.
But, Hardy, it was only about this year because LeBron is gone after this year. So it was only about this year.
But if he's okay, if Kyrie was thinking the whole time, I'm going to be in Boston for more than just a year. If he's always had it in the back of his head that he was going to sign long-term, then it didn't have to be just about this year.
It did, because he could have demanded the trade this offseason. He could have played it out and stuck it out for one more year and then demanded the trade. And that was my criticism of him.
But the opportunity to go to Boston may not have been there if he had waited.
Maybe. But he's going to be proven right. He's going to be right. He's not even on the floor, and he's going to be proven right. Hard to argue with that.
No, proven right overall, absolutely. Yes. I just don't know that you need to put it into the, you know, into the category of just this one year alone. This year, yes, absolutely. But long term, yes, of course. Still, seems to be working out. I think it really is tough to think about what this team is going to be like with Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward available in the fall.
That's all I keep thinking about. That's all I keep thinking about watching these games.
You want to make it a little bit worse? Just drive the knife in a little bit more for the Cavs?
Yes, please. I love that.
I just saw the story pop up. So apparently the Cavs, when they do the ping pong balls, right, for the it's a four-digit combination.
Yes, they do like 10,000 of them, right?
But there's a four-digit combination. So if your four-digit combination comes up, you know, you get the number one pick at that. So the first three ping pong balls, they had the first three numbers. And it came down to the last ping pong ball. They were one number off.
Well, how many? The number are there pick. Zeros? 0 to 9? Is that the numbers, the combinations, or is it 1 to 9? How many digits are in?
I think it's 0 to 9.
Okay, 0 to 9. So even at that point, you get the first three numbers right, you still only have a 10% shot.
But it's like
a 1 in 10 chance.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like watching, like, okay, the first three numbers. No, but you might have multiple combinations within that three-digit number if you're certain teams.
Still, I get what you're saying, though. That's still pretty good. That goes from what, like 1 in 10,000 down to 1 in 10? If you get the first three right, that's pretty good.
You're sitting in that room and you see the first three numbers pop
that's
up and you're
good.
Like, all right, all right, yes. All right, and then one number off.
That's pretty good. Let's go to George in Methuen. Hi, George.
What's up? So,
what's up, Beto? George?
Hey, like I said, we winning. You said it, Beto. I was just going to say that. You know, we winning from the trade. You know, just taking Kyrie out of the team, you know, made the team not better than what he was last year. And we winning from there. Now you can see it. That they need that guy. They had Kyrie right now, we'd be 2-0 Cleveland up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we would.
That's what they have now without him. 2-0.
Yes.
2-0.
That's what I mean. So hey,
2-0.
All right, George. Appreciate the call. Albert's in Rhode Island. Hey, Albert.
How's it going, guys?
What's happening?
How's it going, Albert?
Not too bad. Not too bad. So listen, I know we feel like an all time sensitive, you know, aspect and all aspect of life, through. But now, Danny Ainge has to be called a thief and a mother effer or whatever he was by a player on the Cavs.
A bleeping thief. Call him a bleeping thief.
Fleecing. So now he has to check his moral compass as to if and how he's fleecing another team. And on top of
it's his job.
Me Altman,
wait. Who's saying that? Who's saying he has to check his moral compass, though? The player may have said it as a compliment.
You're taking it too far.
I'm being sarcastic. I'm saying what he did was an amazing move. And on top of it, so Kobe Altman goes through with the trade after he has an inclination that Isaiah Thomas's hip is messed up, which he should have. Then on top of it, you compound that move. You then trade him for Rodney Hood, trash, Larry Nance Jr., trash, Jordan Clarkson, more trash. So, I mean, they have nowhere but to look. I mean, I hate to have to give Boston Sports any right, but you have nowhere to look but in the mirror. You have destroyed your team, and your best player is a dog and a quitter, and he made his mind up 3 months ago that he's out the door. You're done. They're done. Cleveland is done. This is it.
You excited for minicamp, Albert?
I'm with you, Albert.
What's that?
You excited for minicamp? Giant
Zoe,
minicamp?
Tell me that Saquon Barkley isn't going to be the best player in this draft. I'm ecstatic about him.
Stud.
Am I crazy, or am I being a yonk, or
stud.
Is the kid just a stud?
Stud. Period.
Everybody around me. Oh, a Giants drafted a running back. Oh, you know about no.
You tell them blah, 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 blah.
Marshall Faulk 2.0. That's what I'm hoping for.
There you go.
All right, Albert. Albert's right. If you're in Cleveland, what reason would you have to trust Kobe Altman to rebuild the Cavs after LeBron leaves town? What faith would you have in that guy?
Yeah.
What faith would you have? That guy's going to rebuild it?
take LeBron off the roster, who are you rebuilding around?
Baker Mayfield?
I don't know. The eighth overall pick?
The Browns.
Kevin Love?
You become a Browns fan.
What are you doing?
Yeah, you shift all your attention to the Browns.
Kevin Love. You know what? They're going to have to trade Love. They're going to have to trade Kevin Love. Kevin Love is going to get traded. That's what's going to happen.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Boom. Like, I win. Like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in the hole.
I know. I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of news.
Beetle and Zell.
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5 Sports Hub.
It was a building ready to explode at the start. And LeBron James defused it with a legendary performance. 42 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists. Highlight after highlight after highlight. And the clock will hit triple zeros. And in spite of it all, LeBron James and the Cavs are going back to Cleveland. Down 0-2. A stirring come-from-behind win in what may have been the Marcus Smart game of all Marcus Smart games.
That's the voice of Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics, right here on 98.5 The Sports Hub, Celtics Radio Network.
Max was in earlier, said Sean writes all his stuff out, like all those long exits and intros.
He also said that Sean Grandy, who joins us now on the line, that he and Sean go out once a year to some Mexican joint in, is it San Antonio? Is that where you guys go?
Chili's?
It is. Yeah, Chili's. Yeah, that's exactly right. No, Max and I have a spot in San Antonio, and that's our once-a-year thing.
Once-a-year thing. He said they get margaritas, and they sing Kumbaya, and he said you also sing black songs. That's what he said.
What are black songs?
He said on the radio this morning.
He literally said that. I'd like to hear that.
That's exactly how he put it, that you guys go out once a year.
He's letting it fly this morning.
You have margaritas, man. You have laughs, you have a good time together, you sing Kumbaya, and then he added black songs, whatever that means.
I never really thought of him that way, but yeah, I guess.
Why don't you take the high road there?
I guess next year we'll have a Facebook Live or something.
Yes, Periscope, yeah. Do something like that. All right, we've been talking this morning, Sean, about Danny Ainge being called a bleeping thief by an anonymous Cavs player. Is Danny Ainge a bleeping thief for the Kyrie Irving deal?
Well, he was a thief in the Nets deal with Billy King. I mean, maybe he will be by the time all is said and done. I find it's funny how, you know, deal after deal, when it doesn't go your way, the other guy is a thief. I mean, who put the pressure on to make the deal? I remember people really being upset when the Cavs wanted more when they knew Isaiah's injury situation, and then they used the opportunity to hold the Celtics up for, you know, even more in the deal when it looked like the deal may fall apart, you know, late August, early September. So, you know, it looks bad now. I mean, but why is Danny Ainge at fault for somebody else making a deal?
I don't know that it was necessarily said in a derogatory way. I think it was said as Danny Ainge, don't do deals with Danny Ange because that guy is going to screw you over. Yeah. That's the way it goes. And I say, yeah, he is a thief, but I use that as a compliment. Yeah. You know, he got the best of the deal.
I think if you look at a lot of these deals, he's generally dealt from a position of strength. And, you know, I mean, like the Nets deal, do you think Danny wasn't like, he had wanted to make a deal involving, you know, Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett? Because remember, here's the thing you always have to remember about people. We're all affected by our own personal experiences. And Danny was affected by Red Auerbach letting that team get old in the late 80s. And, wow, this is not going to happen to me. And there were many opportunities where he was aggressive, particularly when it came to Ray Allen. And, you know, towards the end, his plan was to move those guys. And I think if you'd ask him in an honest moment, he'd tell you he probably thought that ship had sailed, you know, the Pierce Garnett idea. And all of a sudden the phone rang, and it's one of those things that at the time you understood what the Nets were trying to do. But they thought they were getting Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and Jason Terry in 2007, and they were getting them in 2013. And obviously that's when you pressure yourself to make a deal and try to make something happen, that's generally when bad things happen.
His worst deal ever was Perk, right?
I mean, with the way it turned out.
What you would have got,
Jeff Green, I mean, I think, you know, there's a great urban legend about that deal, which I talked to Sam Presti about it. He's denied it that was really James Harden in that deal, not Jeff Green, when it was first. I know there were people, I won't say any names, there were people very high in the Celtics organization that were under the impression that it was going to be Harden
and were surprised to find out the next day that it was that it turned out to be Jeff Green. But I remember, again, people forget the circumstances around it. When you signed Mark Blunt in 2004 to that big deal, the center market was dried up and you needed one. Like Eric Dampier got big money that year. But back in 2011, when you make that deal, the best lineup, Park was coming back healthy in the year the Celtics had Shaq. The best starting five, the best five-man unit in the NBA that season, the entire season and the entire league, was the Celtics starters with Shaq. And you make that deal, and then Shaq gets hurt in his first game back and isn't able to play, and then you don't have Shaq or Perk come to the playoffs, and you have the injuries, and Dwayne Wade throws Rondo down. But so you got to look back, why do people make the deals at the time they make them? There's always a reason. Billy King could probably give you an hour on why he made that deal.
That was an analytical reason for the Celtics that should have factored more the human element of you can't trust Shaq to stay healthy at that age.
All sitting around drinking margaritas and singing black songs.
Well, I mean, that's what you're into. I mean, that's your deal.
Apparently.
Hey, we'll talk about the transition from game one to game two. I think we all understood how LeBron was probably going to come out for game two. You've called a lot of these games. You know how they go. At what point during that first quarter did you ever look over at Max and say, well, we're losing this one?
We kept looking at each other like that the Cavs were in trouble, that they were only up four, only up five, only up six. And the difference, you know, they were very similar performances. I thought LeBron's first quarter the other night was better than his first quarter, maybe the first half of his legendary game, the game that changed the trajectory of his career in NBA history.
Round of applause for that take. Yeah. I love that.
Game six, he was better. But that night, what did Paul Pierce end up? I mean, look it up, kids. I'll have it in front of me. What did Paul Pierce end up?
I think he had 21 points. I think Paul Pierce had 21 points that night.
I think he had nine. Look it up.
Okay.
I will. We're talking about 2012, the game six. And the point was that you had somebody, a Jaylen Brown, answering. And the Celtics, right now, this group is playing with this, you know, sort of what I like to call this irrational confidence, this sort of lack of fear. They have great respect for LeBron. But when LeBron comes out and has a first quarter like that, the Celtics are saying, wow, but they're not saying, you know, I think the crowd was more in fear of what LeBron was doing. It got quiet in there because they had seen that show before, but these guys are almost too young to know better. And Jaylen Brown kept scoring, and the Celtics kept staying close. And how many times this year have the Celtics come from double digits down to win? How many times have they been in this spot? And they just played the next possession and give themselves a chance to win. So when LeBron was having that game, and again, Kevin Love is pretty good in game two, but when, you know, Hill kept missing shots and J.R. Smith kept missing shots, eventually you realize LeBron may be, I mean, he's the best player in the world. He's certainly in the conversation for best ever, but there was only one of him. And there were certainly times game two felt like five against one.
Okay, I had it wrong. Rondo had 21 points in that game. You were right.
Rondo's.
Pierce had nine.
Was it eight or nine? Yeah.
Nine points.
45 to nine. So my point is that Jaylen Brown was better in the first quarter. He scored more in the first quarter and kept the Celtics close. That night, nobody kept the Celtics close. That was just a one-man wrecking crew.
So now the Celtics go on the road. A lot's been made of the Celtics having not played well on the road, going back to the Bucks series, and then I guess Philadelphia, if you want to count that loss in that series. Is that an overrated criticism of the Celtics, and what kind of team do we see show up in Game 3 Saturday?
You know what's so bizarre about it is that if you turn the clock back about 2 months to mid-late March, the Celtics were about two or three games better on the road than they were at home. They won in Orlando. I want to say it was like the 16th of March, somewhere around there. And from that point on, they've had this crazy split where they've been like 13-1 at home and maybe 1-8 or 1-9 on the road after a year in which they were, you know, as good as they were the best road team in the East all year. So I think the concern would be not, I think the Celtics will play well. I think they're going to see very similar games this weekend to what we've seen in the early part of the playoffs. The Cavs probably win one of these games this weekend, and the other one is the one that's going to come down to the last possession. And both of these teams, all year, regular season and playoffs, have won more games than probably they should have because they have found ways to win close games. And to me, that's what's going to decide the series, is when one of these games ends up close in a final possession game, who's going to get it? But you're going to get, there's no way J.R. Smith and Korver and all these guys don't, you know, play better. That's what we know about the NBA, is that the quote-unquote role players, supporting cast, always play better at home.
And not that this matters or it's set in stone. Stevens told us yesterday that, he's open to, starting lineup potentially changing. You think they go big in this game three? Baines, Manny Baines in?
I would, it wouldn't surprise me. You know, I mean, how much – they've got to keep Marcus Morris out of foul trouble. That's one, the only concern about him starting. And look at the numbers. He has hit the LeBron's numbers when Marcus Morris is the primary defender. Numbers get a little shaky because, as you've seen, the way the Celtics are playing,
yeah,
you start with a primary defender, and as soon as the ball moves, the Celtics move, and you're switching. But
wouldn't you drive on him more if you're LeBron?
It depends. I mean, you certainly want to make him work.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to wake a sleeping giant on defense, which he has been for much of the year. There are people within the Cavs who tell you LeBron's largely taken the year off defensively, which is one of the reasons he was able to play so many. He led the league in minutes played in year 15, which is pretty, of all the absurd LeBron numbers, that may be at the top of the list. But you certainly have to make him work. That's the idea.
What about the possibility of sitting Tatum to start the game? I think there's any way they'd consider that.
I think you consider everything. I'm not a big fan of dramatic changes in game 97. I'm also not a fan of overplaying the starting group when there are 100 possessions in a game and you can make change. It's not quite hockey when you're making a line change 2 minutes into the game, but you're giving away essentially, if you decide 3 or 4 minutes into the game to make a change, you're talking about what, 9-10% of the possessions maybe before you make that change. So, Tatum's been really good at times in this series. I don't think you want to overthink things too much when you have this group up 2-0 in the conference final.
All right, one other note that you should be aware of is that this morning during Danny Ainge's interview, Rich Chertenlieb has started to lobby for you to get a better broadcasting spot at the Garden. Just so you know, Sean, the lobbying has begun.
Well, here, and I have obviously been asked about this for 10 years now, and I've always found a way to come up with, you know, political answers and whatever. I've compared it very much. I think Max and I've always said we were so good in the run to the championship in 2008 that it was like when they raised the mound. And after Maris and Mantle hit all the home runs, they had to raise the mound because just got too good. But, I mean, from a superstition standpoint, how do you win a championship and make change like that? That's my concern. So people will start looking at that as the, you know,
the curse. But the curse of the
try to call the Super Bowl from the end zone. That's fun.
The NBA is getting there, but the NFL has some of the worst broadcast locations I have ever been aware of or heard. It is, yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
All right, Sean, appreciate the time as always.
You got it, guys.
Sean Grady with us here on Zolak and Bertrand. Hardy has our headlines. That sound from Danny Ainge's interview this morning as it relates to Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, as they watch from the sidelines. What does it have to do with Chris Broussard the other day? We'll tie it all together next.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox and Orioles played the first of four tonight at Fenway Park after the Sox beat the A's last night. Thanks in part to Xander Bogaerts. He's good, huh, Alex Cora?
Like I said, this guy, he can hit. I do feel he can drive the ball. That he can hit 330, 335 up there, yes, of course. Going the other way, he can do that. But I think he can hit 300 and then drive the ball out of the ballpark. I'd take that one.
6-4 the final last night. Tonight, David Price goes to the mound. Celtics with another night off. They'll get a lot of rest ahead of their next game, which doesn't take place until Saturday night. Game 3 in Cleveland. Green have a 2-0 series lead. AT&T, Byron Nelson going on right now. We're early into the first round, but in terms of your leaders, Billy Hurley III, 5 under par. There's a whole big group of players just one stroke off the lead right now, including Kevin Na, Ryan Armour, and Keith Mitchell. Headlines are brought to you by the NCAA Lacrosse Championships at Gillette Stadium, May 26th through the 28th. Visit NCAA.com/lacrosse to get your tickets today. I'm Hardy on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
You think they have a big hole?
I think they have a big hole.
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie Irving. There were a lot of reasons, a myriad of reasons he left Cleveland. One was that, reportedly, he wanted to be the man, right? He wanted his own team.
Right.
Okay? He wanted to see what he... Guess what? This is not your team anymore. It's Brad Stevens' team.
Wow, great
point. It's Brad Stevens' team. When you come back, win or lose this series for Boston, This is now Brad Stevens is a genius. He's the face of the Celtics. And that doesn't – you. Some people might say, well, of course the coach is easy. No, it's James Harden's team. It's Steph Curry's team. OKC is Russell Westbrook's team. Was Durant's team. LeBron has his team. Like, it's the superstars' team. But now this is no longer Kyrie's team. It's not.
Chris Broussard, ESPN. Excuse me, FS1 now. FS1 with Colin Cowherd.
Wow, great point.
Yeah, start of the week, great point.
Kyrie Irving.
Thinks that Kyrie may be upset when he makes it back because it's not about Kyrie anymore. It's about the head coach, Brad Stevens, and all the praise that he's gotten, I will say. They asked Danny Ainge about that today on Toucher and Rich, and he said, I don't think it's going to be a problem because these players know what kind of guy Brad Stevens is. He's not looking for that praise. In fact, he doesn't like the praise. So it's not like he's someone who's trying to steal the spotlight from his players. He prefers to do the opposite of that. However, when asked today about the guys that are out on the sideline, Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, here it is on Toucher and Rich, Danny Ainge.
You know, there's that thing that I know some people are talking about, although we know Kyrie as a competitor probably doesn't feel this way, but he sees this team without him winning at a high level. Is there something that you feel as a GM you have to kind of say to him and talk to him at this time?
You know, I talked to Kyrie last night. I talked to him, you know, every other day anyway, and Gordon. It's hard on those guys. I mean, this is why they wanted to come to Boston, was what's going on right now, and they don't get to be a part of it right now. But they are excited for this young group of guys and Al Horford, and they're excited for all those guys. But I mean, it is hard when you're watching your team have the kind of success that they've had, and without them, and all I can think of is how good we're going to be with them. Ooh. Because those guys are good, and our depth will be great, it'll be a lot of fun.
It's hard for both of those guys. It's hard. Does that give credibility to Chris Broussard's statement that because it's hard for those players, they're having a hard time with it, they're going to be upset when they make it back?
No, I don't know. I mean, I hate doing the whole body language thing, but I think there is something to it.
With who?
With Kyrie Irving. Like, he looks into it. And it's just hard for me to think, I don't like what's going on with Brad Stevens. He's taking my team. I don't buy any of it. I mean, we see the shots of him and Danny chumming it up at Chipotle. Like, they're always together. You know, this isn't like a petulant, it doesn't seem like it's a petulant outsider that I'm going to sit there with my arms crossed and be pissed. He's first one on the court with his hand fist in the air, throwing a timeout when Cleveland's got to burn one. It's not even about Cleveland. It's been doing it other series. This isn't just LeBron and back and forth. Yeah, Cleveland told you. He's been doing this the whole time since they've allowed him on the side. And now Gordon's down there with, I don't know. I mean, I don't buy any of that crap.
I wouldn't be upset with the coach. I wouldn't be upset with the team. I wasn't being able to contribute. I wasn't able to play.
Yeah, I think that's the hard
thing. Because, as Danny said, this is why these guys wanted to come here. They wanted to be a part of something like this.
Athletes hate being injured.
Of course.
You hate it.
So, I would say that I'd be upset with anybody who has the idea that it's a good idea to consider trading Kyrie Irving and going with Terry Rozier. That would annoy me.
That's the stuff that pissed me off.
The more likely outcome is that,
you know what?
You watch Terry Rozier get traded at some point because his value now is high.
You know what? I agree with that because you become territorial.
I hate to break that to Celtics fans. But the more likely outcome is a trade of Terry Rozier, not a trade of Kyrie Irving, not happening.
Right. But if you're Kyrie Irving, you're driving around, you hear it, and you know, you're on your phone, and your boy's texting you or your agent, like, look at this stuff about Terry Rozier. They want to keep Terry Rozier over you. There's something territorial about your position, no matter what sport. Even though you sit there and you want to do the right thing, you're clapping that. You never want to see the guy that's at your position elevating and taking his game to another
level. That's why Drew Bledsoe was willing to play with a pin sticking out of his finger to keep you on the bench.
Right. He knew what was going to happen. He knew it.
He knew it.
Don't you think it'll be hard?
He didn't have a flash. What? Why do you think Brady didn't want Garoppolo in? Seriously. Why do you think Brady's not going to help
Garoppolo?
Why do you think Roethlisberger said a week ago, I'm not helping Mason Rudolph. It's his job to get ready.
Go ahead. But how's Rozier going to react when he goes back to the bench? That's the big question.
He may not
you
be
might
here.
Have to move him, though.
May not be here.
But you might have to move him just to avoid him you know, getting
right.
bitchy.
Yeah.
And
Scary
ruining
Terry going to be bitching about his minutes?
Yeah.
I mean, in a weird way, a month ago, we're talking about, well, you're going to have Rozier and you're not going to be able to pay Smart. You know, even though it's a different dynamic and each guy means something different, it's kind of to the point now where Rozier's playing so well and it's a flat line that, shoot, he's the one that's going to go,
yeah.
and you're going to end up paying Marcus Smart to stay.
Well, Smart started in the past, and now he's gone to the bench, and he's had no problem coming off the bench. Rozier, we haven't seen him go back to the bench yet.
Well, he is scary.
How's he going to react?
Don't know. I don't know. May not get to that
with
point.
With that mask on, like Scary Terry.
May not get to that point. We'll have to wait and see.
Yeah.
617-779-0985. You have thoughts on the Celtics? We're going to keep taking those calls.
When are we doing the poo?
Red Sox as well.
When's that poop story?
The Tim Hortons story?
Yep.
Yeah, Bonesy. Go to Tim Hortons, eh? Yeah, we could do that next.
Did she
Stay
not get
tuned.
The chocolate latte she wanted?
Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Zoe and Bertrand.
Hey, where did we go? Days when the rains came.
Yeah.
Down in the hollow,
doing what?
Hey, playing a new game.
Yeah.
It's a game, all right.
Laughing and a running, hey, hey. Skipping and a jumping. In the misty morning fog with ow. My heart's still thumping and you. Be spring and go.
Okay. Oh, okay. No, 11:52. No. You crossed the line at 11:52.
Brown eyed girl.
Okay, enough.
And
whatever happened?
Shut his microphone off.
Tuesday is so slow.
So there Let's go to our friends up in Canada, CTV News.
Hello.
We've got a story about a Tim Hortons, which we have paid particular attention to after our good friend, Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones is a big fan of the Tim Hortons there, eh? And sometimes you go in there, some people get a little unruly at the cash register. They forget to say please and thank you. I always say, please, yes, please, can I have one of those four-day-old, stale, flavorless blueberry muffins you got there in the case? Who knows how long it's been there?
What they call it?
Get yourself your Timbits.
What they call the little Tim nuggets? Hortons. Tibbits?
Yeah,
the
Timbits.
Timbits.
They call those Tim's Bits.
Tim's
is what
Bits.
We call those. You know, they want to take a bite out of Tim's Bits. There you go.
She had a bite for you, huh?
And this was, that doesn't make any sense. So this is the story from the Tim Hortons. I believe this is Vancouver. Does that sound right,
yeah.
Beetle?
Yes.
This happened
Vancouver.
Was it Vancouver?
Yeah. All right, we're going with that.
The RCMP is investigating a disgusting attack on employees at a Tim Hortons in Langley tonight, and we should warn you right away, some viewers may find the details upsetting.
Now, or this hilarious. Is really more like a news and comment. I mean, she's injecting...
I am disgusted
she's injecting
so much by this.
Opinion in this by yeah. calling it disgusting. I don't know. I don't know. Let's find out.
This is just over the border from Washington State.
Okay.
Langley, Vancouver.
Yes. All right. Here we go.
CTV's Ben Milger reports on a dispute over the restaurant washroom that quickly got out of control.
Oh.
Canada, they call it a washroom. It's
starting to make sense. I've only seen the video. I did not know the story behind it.
She probably had to go and had nowhere to go.
Well, we're going
to
find out.
They wouldn't let her in.
In this security video from a Langley City Tim Hortons on Monday, a woman can be seen arguing with staff. Suddenly, she unties the sweater around her waist and pulls her pants partway down.
Oh. Oh, where's this going?
Hey, now.
She, feeling amorous?
Is she doing wall squats? Was she getting a workout in?
Is she feeling amorous? Why else would she be untying the sweater around her waist and pulling her pants part way down?
Wall squats. Back against the wall. Squat.
We are not showing what happens next as the woman defecates on the floor.
Oh! Oh.
Oh, big words.
Oh.
Defecates. She does the poo.
Hey, well, that's not too good for your Tim Hortons, eh?
Oh, I don't know if they've got enough yellow cones there in the back next to the mop to put around that mess.
Would you ever
she then throws the feces at staff.
What is she, part monkey? Is this woman part monkey?
She also throws soiled napkins in their direction.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
Were they soiled from her getting up the crumbs from her Tim's Bits there, or what were they soiled from? Oh, goodness. Look at her there.
Couple of loose blueberries from the muffin?
Oh, they're really soiled then. Yeah.
Oh, you have a new donut? Is that brown sugar flavor frosting?
Yeah, looks like she's had her coffee today there, eh, Mr. Bones?
Careful throwing those away. Those are good composting material right there.
Well, I'm kind of disgusted with it.
It is what it is.
Oh, yeah.
There's a select few around here that are just like that.
Tim Horton says...
Wait a select few.
So this is common.
What? What is she talking? What is he talking?
What's the name of this, Flannery?
I go into the Tim Hortons.
In Flannery, Vancouver? This is common.
Take a dump. That's only for the select few.
This happens every Tuesday and Thursday.
Here. Few around here that are just like that.
Yeah. We call it the poo special.
They're just like that. Yeah, it's Vancouver. Anything goes.
Tim Hortons says some of its restaurants, including this one, have a policy where only customers are allowed to use the restrooms.
See, now, Starbucks got into a little bit of trouble about this, but not the same kind of trouble. There was more, theirs was more of a police presence, you know, calling the cops when he really didn't need to.
Yeah.
Which would you rather have? Would you rather have your CEO having to go on there and make a public nationwide apology about your bathroom policy, or would you rather have this to deal with?
Ooh. How do you go back in there?
What do you mean? You mean the Starbucks incident?
Yes.
The one in Philly?
Would you rather be doing
having coffee while black?
Rather
that issue?
Yes. I would rather be in charge of Tim Hortons than dealing with the fallout.
This isn't the store's problem.
Yeah, right.
This is that Starbucks, it's all on them.
This woman's insane.
It stems from the same policy though. Oh, you gotta spend a couple of loonies before you go back and use the loo.
You know who doesn't enforce that policy? Dunkin' Donuts.
Really? Well, they're so busy.
They're just welcoming to come in.
So she probably went in to use the bathroom, and they yelled at her because she didn't buy anything?
Wanted to use the bathroom without buying anything, and well...
In this case, staff were trying to enforce that policy. In a statement, the restaurant chain says, "Our current understanding is that the team member used their discretion in this case and denied access to this guest based on past behavior and out of concern for the immediate safety of team members and guests in the restaurant."
Okay, now hearing that, you would think that this is like some sort of homeless woman that had come in, you know, that hangs around there. And when I saw the headline, I thought, what is this? Right. Some, you know, someone who doesn't have a place anywhere else to go? Doesn't appear that way from watching the video.
I'll take it one step further, Beetle.
Just on appearances alone.
I said this last night. It's pretty hot.
I don't know if you can tell that from
Beetle,
the video.
Beetle.
I can't tell that.
For a woman who would drop trowel and do that inside a public restaurant, she's a 10.
I really thought
Bo Derek. She is the Bo Derek's of people who would defecate on the floor of a Tim Horton.
When Jim told me about the story, I thought when we watched the video that this is going to be one of the most disgusting looking persons that we've ever seen.
That's what I thought. And then I watched it. Nope. That person doesn't fit the bill of a restaurant pooper.
I'm going to say this. I don't know how she had such a big one.
Okay. Well, don't. Don't say it at all.
Well, I mean,
no, leave it. Leave it right there.
I don't know women.
No, we got more of the report to listen to.
She had to stop. Go. That's why she's trying to use the bathroom.
Stop.
Outside the restaurant, opinion was mixed about whether
after an incident like
Why's
this.
My mic off?
Is opinion really mixed anymore?
It shouldn't be.
Customers should be allowed to use the bathrooms.
Occasionally, it would be a handy thing.
People that just come in here.
Excuse me, Mr. Handy?
What did Mr. What? Handy say?
Occasionally, it would be a handy thing.
People that just come in here and use the facilities and then, you know, leave it a mess, right? So that's been a bit of a concern that they have with this place here, right?
Yeah, except you're a fast food restaurant.
Wow.
Well, Tim Hortons is...
All of a sudden, Tim Hortons turned into a gas station?
We like to say it's bad food fast. We don't like to say fast food. We just say bad food fast. That's how we do it here at Tim Hortons.
How bad could there get?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, you're a restaurant.
As a business, you're better off letting people...
It's a different code.
If you're in that
type
of business, fast food, right? You're better off having people stop to use your restroom because they're more likely to buy things while they're in there.
It's not like... You work at a convenience store to where you come in to use a bathroom and you're given a big log which is attached to the key and you unlock it and the whole place smells like chlorine.
This is a gorgeous Tim Hortons, too, with this news report standing outside of that Tim Hortons and it's like...
Is it nice?
It's like on the corner. It's just gigantic.
Oh, yeah. We're real proud of this here franchise location. They've done a great job.
You know what's the problem?
Big grand opening.
You know, like in all the donut places, the problem is when you go in and you see the baskets of donuts, they're like metal wire baskets. What if when it was thrown...
Okay, don't.
That's what I want to know. Where did it land exactly?
Well, they closed for the rest of the day, I'm sure.
Oh, they did, yeah.
As for this video, you can see a staff member on the phone with police while the woman does her business. Langley RCMP caught up with her in the parking lot.
Wait, caught up with the woman or the person on the phone?
No, the woman. She didn't take off. She was there.
She's probably washing her hands outside.
Here's my favorite. I don't know if they're going to say it in this particular news story.
Well, let's listen.
Let's hear it.
And say she was released and given a date to show up in court.
There it is. They didn't arrest her. They gave her a court date. And I read another story that they're trying to figure out what she can be charged with. You don't have a law on the books for that.
Well, we're not inclined to drop the charges, but enough has been dropped already here today, so we're going to just leave it at that, eh?
It's now up to the Crown to decide if she will be charged with assault.
The Crown. Canada.
Idiots.
Ben Milger, CTV News, Langley.
The Crown. I bet they're all going to be watching the royal wedding come Saturday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, we didn't even talk about that yet.
We're not going to.
Maybe tomorrow. The Crown needs to decide if there's a charge there for the woman who went into the Tim Hortons.
But when she turned around,
did her business
before she had, you know, redressed herself, tell me you weren't trying to check her out a little bit. Like, oh, huh. Not what you'd think. Bad.
You happy now, Zo, that we got to that story?
Yeah.
Now let's move on.
Mr. Bones.
Never mention
it again. I don't
know if we
go to that Tim Hortons ever again.
Did you imagine being a guy cleaning that up? Like, I don't even go in there to eat again.
Yeah, it's tough though because in terms of restaurants around here, that's all we got. That's our new Canadian motto on the flag there. Tim Hortons. That's all we got.
.ca.
Next guy comes in next day. Hey, I need two donuts. I need three bagels and. Someone told me you sell shampoo here.
Oh, good ones, though.
Should have gone to headlines 20 seconds ago.
I'm sorry, Artie. Headlines. Get to it, please.